chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 again. Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 again. That's our usually our launch pad scripture. And so it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, governors over the satraps, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, the governors, so that the king would suffer no loss. Basically, he was setting up an organization structure within his kingdom. And then Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because of what? An excellent spirit. Everybody say an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit was in him. And so we've often challenged and encouraged everyone to examine whether or not there's an excellent spirit within you. And of course, he said, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought that to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find no charge or fault because he was faithful. Everybody say he was faithful. And nor was there any error or fault found in him. And so we said an excellent spirit is a what kind of attitude? A humble. Everybody say humble. Humble Christ-like attitude. And so we said true humility is God-dependent. Amen. And so humility is a large part of an excellent spirit. And so we said true humility doesn't exalt self. True humility doesn't debase self. So you got two extremes. You got one extreme where you're promoting yourself, self-promotion, self-exaltation. Amen. We exalt Jesus. We exalt Jesus. We don't exalt man. We exalt Jesus. And we don't exalt other things other than the Lord. Amen. And of course, we don't debase ourselves. We call ourselves what God calls us. We're a child of God. We're a born again believer. We're washed in the blood. Amen. And we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So true humility isn't about self at all. Self is pride. And the need to share your opinion is pride. Slandering or gossiping about someone to improve your reputation is pride. Avoiding criticism is pride. Worrying about what other people think is, come on, church, pride. Okay. True humility is saying about yourself what God says about, so it agrees with God. So we said an excellent spirit is the key to promotion. So what is the key to promotion? To increase, to expansion, for advancement, for acceleration. Everybody say it. An excellent spirit. An excellent spirit or this humble attitude. So it's a key to your promotion. Now, God wants to promote you. Now, through every test and every trial, there's an opportunity. Everybody say opportunity. Opportunity to increase, to advance, to accelerate, to move up, or stay where you're at, or go backwards. So we should be people who are getting up or up, going up. That means we're getting up or getting pushed up because we're going through something, but we're maintaining that right spirit inside of us so that God can bless and God can promote. Amen. We know that the scripture teaches us very clearly. God resists who? The proud. But he gives grace to the who? Humble. Who gets the grace? Humble. The humble. The humble gets the grace. God's strength, God's ability, God's help, God's empowerment, and God's favor. And so that's what we want to experience. So many people think that as long as they do the right thing, they will succeed. But we submitted to you before that they think that going through the motions of success will bring success. But that's not true. So God doesn't want you to be a robotic or an automaton or you know, just going through the motions. Of, well, I checked the block. I did this. I did the checklist. And so that's where you get what we call last couple sessions, religious correctness or perfectionism in the flesh. Because you're born of the Spirit and your challenge and charge by the Lord Jesus Christ is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you're supposed to grow spiritually. the Galatian church got in trouble because of this stinky thing called legalism. Mm-hmm. In religious tradition, which is basically first cousin to religious correctness. We would call it outside in the political arena, in the civil government arena, we would call it political correctness. So you can kind of correlate the two. You would call it political correctness. So that means I go through the motions of doing the right things, and we think that ought to give me credit for heart. Remember, God doesn't look on the outside. He looks where? In the heart. He looks on the inside, in the heart. So how's your heart tonight? Amen. So, but that's not true. Wrong attitudes void right actions. Wrong attitudes void right actions. So if I'm asked to vacuum the carpet and I do it with a bad attitude or a laissez-faire attitude, come on now. I don't consider it a privilege and an extreme honor to be used by God to minister to one person. If I'm just sharing my faith or showing Christ or sharing Christ with someone, then God wants to use me. But he can't use you if you're in pride or if you're in, you know, exaltation, lifting yourself up, or you're in debasement. You're putting yourself down. And so you don't think I don't qualify for the anointing. God can't use me because my life is so messed up. I'm so jacked up. I'm so toe up from the flow up. No, God will use you. Because we said the best ability is what? Availability. So the best ability is availability. That means say, Lord, here am I, send me. Here am I, use me. That means there's an internal willingness which manifests as an external obedience. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the what? Good of the land. That means even coming to church, ladies and gentlemen, coming to church, you got to have the want to instead of just go to. You got to have the want to, because God says, you know, he's not going to give you credit. Let me just put it plain to you. You don't get credit for just checking the block. Because some people even think success, well, I'm a success because I go to church all the time. God's not going to give you a reward for just going to church all the time. He's already told everybody to go to church. He said, don't forsake that. That means don't stop coming to church. Don't lack off on your church attendance because you're a part of the body. And then the part has to be assembly. That's why he says assembly. He uses a word that means you have to be assembled and gather with the body. Because all the car parts to a car may be in a garage, but that car may not be assembled because there's some assembly required in the church. That means I don't just come to sit, I come to serve. I come to get hooked up, tied up, and connected with others in community and in community with one another. Amen. Don't ask me to repeat that because I won't. Hallelujah. And so we said this before, we must not allow the enemy of our souls, Satan, or the spirit of mediocrity, which means we get so familiar and we get so predictable, or we get so passive in a sense where we assume that we're okay, even coming to church. Remember, wrong attitudes void right actions. Now remember, if you're negative or negative, or if you're neutral, you lose by default. You have to be like the word standard puts it to be. Psalms 122, verse 1, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Come on now. That means I got to put my attitude in check and get a checkup from that. I got to be happy about coming to church. Even though I got 410 traffic or I-10 traffic or 1604 or 151 traffic to deal with. I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Come on now. Now, that has nothing to do with you, how you feel at the moment. You got to rejoice and be glad to come in church. Because everybody that you're showing Christ. You're showing your children, your grandchildren, and folks in the community of the company of believers that you're not excited, or you are excited about coming to church. Come on now. Psalms 100 verse 2 says, serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Come before his presence with singing. That means we ought to come in, excuse me, cheerful, ready to go. If we're not a sign, we're still got an attitude. I'm ready to go. Lord, you might have me shake somebody's hand and say a word, a right word in due season. And remember, we said it's a privilege and an extreme honor to be called and anointed and used by God to minister to one person. That person could be right across the aisle. They may need a word of encouragement, and that word, God wants it to come through you, but it can't even get to you because you're thinking, I'm not good enough. Oh, my head's down in the toilet, so to speak. I'm thinking about all my problems, my pain, and the pressure I'm under. My predicament is not perfect. Well, you kind of compromise some things, and that's what we talked about the last couple times, kind of really emphasized. You cannot compromise. Everybody said, don't compromise. Now, we looked at Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were people who did not compromise. They said, we will not bow to the king's decree, even though everybody else was being religiously correct or politically correct. Let's just do this before the king. We don't believe in this statue, but we're going to bow down anyway and accept it so I don't get killed. And you saw three people who had excellent spirit. Everybody say excellent spirit.
Excellent.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't bow. They said, King, live forever. We will not bow, and we will not burn. Our God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. Come on now, and he will deliver us. Come on now, their faith was talking, and their faith was walking. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because he didn't compromise. But the enemy will tempt you on a consistent, regular basis to compromise your, number one, your character. That means your integrity, your honor, your faithfulness. Number two, your convictions, which is your beliefs and your behavior that has been conformed based on the standard of God's word and the standard of righteousness, holiness, and godliness. And your calling. You got to think about, I don't do things because you have convictions. You have beliefs that you have to guard. That means you guard them when you put things before your eyes. You guard them when you go around certain companies. You maintain your convictions. Everybody said, don't compromise. And then you don't compromise your commitment, your calling, excuse me, what God's called you to do. Remember, when we get before the Lord, he's going to ask you, what'd you do with what I gave you to do or I told you to do? He's called everybody. Now, we always have said, when you're a member, you're in ministry. That's how a church excels at its best, when every member considers themselves a minister. Now, people struggle with that because they have the religious tradition. They think the minister is only the few people that get behind the pulpit. But when you think about, I'm in the ministry, when you acknowledge and agree with the word of God that says, I'm in the ministry. If nothing else, you're in the ministry of health. Helps, and we've talked about that. There's seven ministries in the local church, and you're at least in one of them. The ministry of helps, the ministry of prayer, the ministry of the word, the ministry of other things. You know, we talked about that in other sessions. So you got to know, I'm called. Now, it's just like someone, like your supervisor, if you're working a job, if your supervisor calls you, you answer the call or you respond to the call. Now we got to see Jesus as Lord. He's not just Savior. Now thank God he's saved. He washed us in his blood. We're saved from our sins. Praise God. We get our name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We get to go to heaven. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Man, our hope is eternal and it's bright, because we get heaven with Jesus. But on the earth, we live under his lordship. That means he's the boss. He's the ruler. He's the owner. He's the master. He's the one who tells us what to do. Come on now. He's the big boss. He is your spiritual boss. So you got to say, am I called to do this? Because I got to answer the call. Amen. Amen. Then our commitment to what? To live our life based on the Word of God. One of the greatest things about, one of the very unique things about God, he got many unique things, but one of the, as in my experience, if you allow me to say this, as a pastor over these few years, my experience has been when people, and I learned this from some really good mentors, and they said, you know, most people who are confused or cloudy about what the Lord is trying to do or say in their life is because of usually one root cause, and this is it. They're not committed to live their life based on the Word of God. Now, when you commit your life to live your life based on the Word of God, according to the Word of God, in other words, you tell Lord, Lord, your word is final authority. Your word is highest priority. Come on now. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is the settlement of all arguments and issues in my life. Your word is the standard on which I will pursue and live by. Amen. When you commit your life to the Word of God, things get real clear. The cloudiness disappears because now you always default go to what does the Word say? What does God's Word say about this? And he get answers, you get direction, you get correction, you get all the protection and perfection that the word brings. Glory to God. Somebody say glory to God. But when you will it, when you wishy-washy, when you fence straddle, when you got one foot in the world and one foot in the trying to put one foot in the kingdom, man, you're gonna be confused. You're gonna be cloudy. You're going to try to say, well, how much carnality can I get away with? Amen. Come on, you lift your hands and say, Lord, I commit my life to live my life based on the Word of God. Come on, mean it by your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah in Jesus' name. Amen. And then your confession of faith and the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Don't deny him. He said, if you confess me before men, me and my words, that means what's coming out of your lips? His words, or the essence of his words, his thoughts, his ideas, his concepts. Praise God. Your confession, you maintain your confession of faith in Jesus Christ. You don't say, you know, like some people say to me a lot of times, you know, are you a Christian? And the first thing they say is, I go to church. Well, I belong to this church. I didn't ask you what church you go to. I asked you what family you belong to. Because they want to tell you, hey, I go to this church. Or they tell them, I go to this Catholic church. I said, no. Then what are you? I said, who are you? Amen. Your identity, spiritual identity, is wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in who you are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, if any man be where? In Christ. You can be in church, but you cannot be in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. A new creation. Old things have passed away, all things become new. So you got to become in Christed. Amen. And so if not, which is one of the biggest areas of thievery that the enemy does to us, Because Jesus said it in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for what? To steal, kill, and destroy. So what is he going to steal? Well, one of the biggest things he steals is your identity. If he can steal your identity, he can steal your inheritance. But part of the stealing of your identity comes through this right here. That if he steals your confession, he'll steal your stuff. He'll steal who you are, and you won't know, who am I? Because you talk double talk. Like we used to say sometimes in Arkansas, I don't know, this country, but we say, you talking out of both sides of your neck. Anybody understand what that means? Yeah. That means you talking one way, the 1 minute, next minute, nothing. It's all based on how you feel at the moment. You got to talk the language of the Holy Ghost. You got to talk the language of the Word of God. Come on now. Talk the language of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. You got to maintain your confession and don't compromise. Everybody say, don't compromise. And then of course, we said if whatever you, we are to, the enemy's always trying to get us to tempt these things, to get us to lose these things. And so we're not to compromise in our testimony and witness of the Lord in our lives. Because you compromise to keep, you'll lose. And so we said God promotes faithfulness. He promotes people who won't compromise. Who think in light of eternity. Because when you think, when God says, they're not saved, they're not Christians, but I like them, Lord. They're good friends. And so you don't want to offend them. So you don't purposely go out of your way try to make yourself ugly to people. Everybody said, don't be an offender. But you can't be afraid of offending people with truth. Now, if God tells you to say something, he opens up an opportunity or a window to speak the truth in love to them, to share or show something, then you do it. Don't just assume, well, they're not going to receive it. Well, what if they don't listen to me? What if they reject me? What if they don't be my friend anymore? You've just compromised. And sometimes that happens and occurs in families because God puts you in a relationship. You got relationship credibility. You know, they used to say it's street cred. You got family cred. That means they've been watching your life. They've been watching your light long enough and say, you got something I don't have. Your light shine a little brighter than the rest of us. What you got? And if you mute out and shut up and don't obey the Lord at that time, well, praise the Lord. Y'all know what you get. You compromise. Everybody said, don't compromise. Because you got to think about eternity. You know, what if the only opportunity comes along in their life where they can hear from you? Amen. You're the only Jesus that they'll ever meet. Amen. You're the only Bible that they will ever read. And you mute out and shut up and shut down. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. And so the only question is, people who, God created every human being to live forever. Where are we all going to live forever in eternity? The only question is whether people who are afraid to stand up for what is right aren't thinking in light of eternity. Their only thought is for the to advance them for the next 5-10 years. Well, I better not say anything. Everybody talks about everything else on the job, and you can't talk about the Bible. Yeah. You can't talk about the Word. Yeah. Because, quote unquote, I don't want to offend anybody. Well, they're offensive all day long. Telling jokes and stuff like that. And you got to give equal time. Like that, you know, Pastor John Osteen at the time when he was alive, the man was cussing and fussing. He was on the car lot. The guy was dropping F-bombs and everything else. And he said, you finished? He said, yeah. So he just began to lift his hand and say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. He got fluttered his eyes. Said, what are you doing? He said, I'm giving equal time. You sit there and cursed and cussed and said everything, you know, just foul mouth. I'm going to praise the Lord. God can use people and promote people when they don't compromise. And you know God's been tapping you on the shoulder. Let's get right in your Kool-Aid. Pastor Ed's sugar is getting ready to get poured in there. It's sweet. It might sound bitter at first, but it's going to be sweet in the end. How many times he told you to talk to your family members and bring them to church? We don't have SRO in this room, standing room only.
Amen.
Got all that word in you. Got years of the Bible being read and put in you. And you know you eat good. Hallelujah. You got friends that you don't, friends and associates that you know that they don't even go to church. Well, praise the Lord. See, sacrificing the future, whether theirs or someone else's, for the momentary ease is wrong. That's not an excellent spirit. How are we going to get to the next level? How are you going to get to the next level in 2018? Everybody say an excellent spirit.
Excellent.
Now let's talk about excellence in ministry. So when you in ministry, so first you start off, you know, with an excellent spirit, and then you bring that excellence to ministry. In other words, to serve God and serve others in whatever capacity God has you in. And so we said that there are six steps that we suggest to excellence in ministry. Now, first, let me read the scriptures here that kind of refer to it. And as we said at the top here, I know it's a little fuzzy on the printing, but it says, excellence in ministry, whatever price it takes, pay it. So you got to think about your willingness to pay that price. Now, those basketball enthusiasts know that it was a great honor. They retired Kobe Bryant's, both his jerseys. 10 years under number 8, 10 years under number 24. They did it on Monday night? Yeah, Monday night. And I watched the whole thing. I watched it on my iPad. But I just want to see. But I like people who put in the effort. He talked about getting up at 5:30. And when nobody else was getting up at 5:30, running, putting in the time, paying the price to have legs in the fourth quarter, to have lift in the fourth quarter, to have that killer instinct focus when everybody else tired and dragging on their shorts. He was going to the hole, and he was dunking, and just superstar. Absolutely outstanding career, 20-year basketball career. One of the greatest plays ever. Mm-hmm. Why they compare him to Michael Jordan? Because they were both the same. They paid the price. What price are you paying? God's not going to allow you and I, friends, to take shortcuts in ministry. If it's just setting up a table, or if it's sweeping the floor, if it's teaching the children, if it's singing, if it's pushing knobs on a mixer board, what price are you paying? We often said, no price, no prize, no promotion. That's good. That's a good place to say amen right there. And so just as the Lord called us into Christian ministry and service, he's also called us to reach perfection in our vocation. So you and I are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. He's talking about spiritual vocation, not your natural vocation. Every one of us probably have a natural trade or a natural talent or giftedness or field of career. So that's okay. But he's really talking about our spiritual vocation. That means I've got a job in the kingdom. There's no unemployment in the body of Christ. There are people that just refuse to work. And we've said it before, we don't exist. Where we just tell people you're saved to sit, that's not us. We exist to see the lost saved and see the saved faithfully and actively serve. Service is just not limited to Wednesday night, Sunday morning. Service is every morning. I'm at your service, Lord. I'm yours to command. Glory to God. I remember Kenneth Copeland was talking about a recordings project. They were doing a gospel recording, some songs, and a guy brought in an old beat-up guitar, and he wasn't putting any kind of effort, and Brother Copeland fired him off the project. Why? He didn't have a spirit of excellence. Because when he's laying down one track, I mean, it's 8, 10, 12 hours of making sure we get it right. Because the guy was fussing at Brother Copeland saying, well, that's good enough for gospel work. That's good enough. So some people think leftovers belongs to the Lord and to the church. But your best and leaving it all out on the field belongs right here.
Amen.
The biggest boss in the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all hear y'all going home already. He said, I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherever the call. Jesus said in Matthew 5:48, therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father is perfect. And you know about all these, you know, again, going back to Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan, they were all perfecting their game. Their three-point game, their defensive game, their free throw shooting. Come on now. And their post play and all that kind of stuff. Just like, you know, we would say modern today is LeBron James and some of these other guys that are in the NBA who are just absolutely working hard to perfect their game. What are you doing? And we're not shooting ball in a basket. We're helping, we're being used by God to save lives and to minister to his precious people and the people in our community. So we must understand that it takes that to place high value in the fact that we're entrusted with God's strength and God's might. Therefore, we're faced with two responsibilities. One, to develop and maintain excellence. Everybody say develop and maintain excellence. Of ministry, excellence of ministry, and then, of course, to deal with Satan, because the enemy always comes in and tries to mess things up. So you got to think about both sides. You got to work in your vocation, walk worthy, because what does it mean, walk worthy? Well, we said it before. Yesterday's excellence is today's mediocrity. So what I did 3 months ago, 3 years ago, is not good enough for today. You got to be pushing the envelope and pushing it forward and working harder to move up higher by God's grace, goodness, and his help and strength and help. So God is going to help us excel and promote and increase to the next level.
Amen.
You know, think about it, ladies, and most of the ladies do the prayers and the announcements and stuff, and Brother Steve's not here, but he does it too. But, you know, even that thing, you want to get better at that. You want to get better at praying. You want to get better at announcements. God promotes what? Excellence. Praise God. Excellence in ministry actually will not tolerate unbelief, failure, or taking the easy way out. The easy way out is saying, well, I know what to do, so I don't have to prepare as much. And that's why Kobe Bryant was made, his statement made so much an impact on me, because he said even though there was no cameras, no lights, and no people, he still got up and started working at 5:30. Because he knew he was not just doing it for himself, he was doing it for all those people that's going to ask him questions about his performance and stuff. And so he was motivated. He had an attitude that, hey, I haven't arrived yet. I got to get better. Amen.
Amen.
And I like even Mark Hankins' secretary, assistant, when she was sharing in the Helps Ministry workshop. Y'all remember we shared that with some of y'all, and we had the privilege and opportunity to be in Louisiana a couple times, several times last year, this year, excuse me, and then we'll go next year as well in March. But, you know, she said Pastor Mark would be pushing the envelope with her. He would never let her settle for just being set in her ways. He'd be like, come on, come on, come on. If you're not thinking 3 months ahead, you're behind schedule. I got to have my calendar 4 months out. If you're already thinking about this week and you hadn't planned it out, you're behind. Well, Pastor, I don't have much to do. Yeah, you do. If you allow the Lord to use you, you'll get real busy real quick. Problem is, you shut your availability off, just like some people do in CCB. Well, let's not go there. But anyway, I'm not available. I'm not available. I'm not available. I'm not available. That's what you say to the Lord in the spirit. I'm not available. I'm not available. Lord, you can only use me when I go to church on Wednesday night. You can only use me when I come to church on Sunday morning. And if I'm not on a roster, I'm going to sit. Well, praise the Lord. Let's keep going. Hallelujah. A ministry of excellence will pay whatever price it takes to get the job done God's way. Not your way, God's way. No shortcuts. Everybody say no shortcuts.
No shortcuts.
And of course, ours is a sacred calling. It must be executed with dedication and integrity. And we are expected to demonstrate absolutely honesty and commitment. Without firm decision to succeed with God's help, you cannot hope to maintain the measure of maturity and perfection that our ministry must command. Because what we said, the law of growth says sometimes organizational growth or church growth will outgrow the believer. That means the majority of the core in the church is growing, but you're stagnant because you're not growing. Then you get outgrown. And then when you're in a position of responsibility, even if it's just setting up a table or sweeping, you become frustrated. People become frustrated with you because why? You're not going. There is a warning in Hebrews that's very clear that when he said you ought to been teachers. Now, if you measure it by time, it's 3.5-4 years. He said you ought to been teachers, but somebody has to come back and teach you again. The first fundamental principles, or in other words, God says, I got a measuring line that says within 3 to 4 years of being in the kingdom as a believer, you ought to be in the teaching capacity level. Amen. But somebody still got to put a milk bottle in, just like our grandson or Miss little precious little Willow back here. Got to put a bottle in your mouth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. You should be teaching. Praise God. And then, of course, we said these steps are, step one, dedication. Everybody say dedication.
Dedication.
So that's a decision that I'm going to dedicate my life to the Lord. It should be a no turning back quality decision. Now, sometimes we have to rededicate. Those are occasions when you find yourself drifting or slipping. You have to rededicate because that's where you get down on your knees or before a communion table and judge yourself and say, look, Lord, I've been lukewarm. I've been casual. I'm not even following the Bible reading. I'm not even practicing the word in my personal life. Remember, you can't have organizational growth and then no personal growth because that's going to lead to disaster. The best thing you can do is grow yourself. Amen. Then you can help grow other people in the church and in the community around you. Amen. Praise God. And you got to know yourself to grow yourself because you got to know where you're at. Amen. So know, we said it's a decision to find your place in the body of Christ and stay to it. One of the first general orders in the Army, U.S. Army, they said, you know, I will guard the limits of my post. I will maintain my post until properly relieved. Until you're not relieved until the Lord relieves you. That means you don't quit. Everybody said, don't quit.
Don't quit.
You don't quit. You say, sir, I follow orders. I'm here. And when I used to have guard duty. Man, you couldn't sleep on guard duty. You couldn't quit and go AWOL on guard duty. You had to stay there. So you got to find your place in the body of Christ and stay there. Stay in your place. Stay in your grace, or you'll fall on your face. Devote yourself to pleasing God and commit yourself to a life of prayer. So your prayer life should be a sweet fragrance around you, that you're a prayer. You're more sensitive. You're more easy to deal with because you pray first. You don't trust your experience, your education, or your expertise. You engage in prayer. I don't care if it's just two people in front of you. You say, I'm going to engage the Lord in prayer. I spend time in prayer before I serve. Amen. Glory to God. Y'all getting something out of this? Yes. Step two, singleness of purpose. Our single purpose in ministry is from the Lord Jesus Christ to meet the needs of people. We must not hesitate to step out in our own faith, personally and publicly. We must commit to making the Word of God final authority and preach the Word in season and out of season. Not everybody's not gonna like it, but you be focused, be Word focused. Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin used to say, "Stickler for the Word." Don't give your opinions and religious rhetoric. Don't talk a whole bunch of junk. Talk the Word. What does the Word say? And then, of course, step three, follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Either in the pulpit or helps ministry, never follow the path your mind wants to take. Don't say, I think, because I know that when you get in trouble. Now, God wants you to use your mind, but he wants to use your mind as the mind of Christ is in there. Think like he thinks. Have the same attitude like he has had. Approach it with a winning Christ-like attitude that's humble. Amen. That's selfless, that's submissive. Come on now, that's secure. Secure enough to take feedback, secure enough to say, you know, Pastor, is this the way you wanted it? How you like what I'm doing here? But see, pride says, I don't want nobody to tell me what to do. I'm volunteering anyway. Don't talk to me. Because I'm liable to quit. Well, praise the Lord. Let's keep going. Nobody's encouraging the pastor right now. Praise God. I'm going to encourage myself. Hallelujah. Learn to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit within you. Don't be influenced by outside situation. And don't blame your family because of your unfaithfulness. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Be prepared for disturbances and distractions sent by the enemy. And a lot of times they come right at home. I got this. I got that. I got this. I got that. I got that. And we've seen that violin. Excuses, excuses. I got a bunch of excuses. And you know what the excuse is, right? The thin skin of falsehood stretched tightly over a bald-faced lie. If you really wanted it, you'd be faithful. If you really knew that the Lord's counting on you, you'd be faithful. Amen. You know, this mentality today, even in the job market, people call out for anything. Pastor Cynthia and I were just talking about it earlier. Back when I was in the military, they expected me to be on when that reveille hit, and when the formation was there, you had to be there. I said, I love you, baby, but I got to go to work. And she had challenges with two of the kids. And then medical challenges. But she had to hang in there. Power through the pain. Somebody say, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so you got to be prepared for disturbance and distraction. The enemy of distraction will always come. And like we said, distractions are the destruction of your dream in slow motion. It takes you away from what you're supposed to be doing to what you're not supposed to be doing. That distraction can be that little bit of device that you got in your hand that the new game comes up. Boop. Amen. Oh, let me play this. Next thing you know, you're an hour in that game. And the Lord's tapping on your spirit to say, pray. And you're on that game. Boop, 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 boop. Next thing you know, they give you coins. You get points. This thing's chiming my music. Oh my God, I'm on this game 3-4 hours now. No, praise God. Let me keep going. Step four, strip away the things of the world. God, the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for all of us. He said in John 17:17, you can go back and read it, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. To sanctify means to separate unto. Now there is sanctification at the point of salvation. That means you've been made exclusively God's. He's your owner. You're God's property. Everybody say, I'm God's property. So you belong to God. You've been set aside exclusively for God. God doesn't want to share you with the devil and with anybody else. That's why his first commandment to Moses, through the law ministry of Moses, you will have no other gods before me. I'm the first. I want to be the first. I want to stay the first. I will not be second. Amen? He said, I'm a jealous God. That means you mine. You're not your girlfriends. You're not your boyfriends. You're not your families first. Woo! Y'all help a brother out. Help the pastor out tonight. It's not them first. It's who first? God's first. This is hot. I might go back and get this myself. Sanctify them not truth, their word is truth. And then so we are in this world, but not of it. Everybody say, I'm in the world. I'm not of it. No, so you have to have that mentality that my citizenship, my residency is in heaven. I have dual residence. You're here in the United States and you're in heaven. But you're the real you, your spirit belongs to God. That you're from above. You're not here. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. You're not of this world system. You have to remind yourself of this. And you get so caught up in culture and class and color and things like that of this world, and you get so convoluted with that stuff, and then you forget that, you know, God's saying, hey, can I get in? Can I get a little bit of time? Because the world will try to just cling on to you like mud. So have an Exodus ministry. You must strip away everything the world from our lives that is nothing left but the word of God. One of the first things that must be rooted out of our life is sin. So if you got known sin, you got to deal with it. Get rid of it. Second, strip away negative confessions. So if you got a bad mouth, then get rid of the bad mouth. Amen. If you're a negative, Christian, or you're always pessimistic or sarcastic or critical or complaining, ooh-wee, God didn't make you a victim. New creature, you are a victorious new creature. Amen. Somebody say, glory to God. So that's where you start every situation. You got a challenge or a trial coming at you. You start from a place and position of victory. You're not to contend for victory. You're fighting from victory. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's from, not for. And so you should have that victim whine wellow out of your system where you say, oh, my God, here it comes again. Oh, they always pick on me. Oh, my God. And you're blaming other people and you're blaming other things and you're dream transferring just like Adam and Eve did. They did it. You did it. This is why. This is why we're going through this. This is why. You're the problem. You're the problem. The pastor's the problem. Then I become the problem. Then you look at me cross-eyed. Don't put me in the crosshairs, though, but praise God. Hallelujah. Do away with spiritual junk food. If you just listen to music and you don't spend time in the Word, you're going to go goofy. The only thing you own is candy. If you only watch TV ministry and you never get in the Word and pray and hear from God yourself, you're not going to be solid. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Lay aside the cares of this world. Don't be a worrier. Then step number five, look to the word day and night. The word promotes. Everybody say the word promotes.
The word promotes.
The word helps control your flesh. If you're having a problem in a certain word, get in the word. I'm not talking about get in there casually. You got to immerse, just like you're diving in a pool. You got to go underwater in the word. Cover up that area in the word. Spend time in that word. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. So then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody say, glory to God. Hallelujah. There's a lot more to say about that, but I'll just keep going. I'm about to close. God will exalt you as you exalt the word. Become a word man, a word woman. Don't become a philosophical, homiletical, hermeneutical Christian. Become a word Christian. The memory of the just is blessed, the Bible says, so you can memorize the word. So when people bring up a situation, the word, if you put the word in, the word will come up. You can begin to quote scripture and recite scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture to push back the incursions of the enemy. It is written. This is what the word says. And then lastly, spend time fasting. Sometimes you got to put the food down. Stop saying you're hungry. Stop saying you're famished. Because what you're doing, you're giving your flesh all the power. You're supposed to give your spirit all the power. Who says you can't miss a meal? Man, most of us, if we look in the mirror, we can miss a few of them.
Amen.
Myself included. So your first should not be food motivated. Because you know what happens in the church. You bring food in, everybody's food fight, because everybody's hungry. Well, y'all don't want to say amen. We're already close. But y'all, nobody wants to say amen. But y'all seen it. You go to parties and stuff, everybody want to eat. I want to eat. They can't control their flesh. And like Dr. Fred Price used to always do, he's really so he said, you have to discipline your body. You have to keep it. So you discipline your body. You say, okay, tonight I'm not going to have this. Now I've started with just a process of disciplining ice cream. So I only eat the pint. I only eat a little bit, a third of it. I said, that's all you get. Boop. Now I want to eat all of it and more. But guess what? You give that ice cream dominion in your body, your body's going to take dominion over your spirit. God wants a transfigured body, a transformed mind. Praise God. Why? Because we're pursuing excellence and maintaining excellence in ministry. If you come in because you had pizza at 12 o'clock midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, you jacked up on soda, then you don't get good sleep, you don't get up and pray, and you're sluggish and spiritually lethargic trying to serve, and he says, I thought I said serve the Lord with gladness. Come on now, not serve the Lord with sluggishness. If you got a propensity to take a nap, why not take a nap before you minister? Get yourself spiritually fresh. It's hard to yield to the anointing when your body's tired. Because the anointing usually lifts off you. Because you haven't taken time to discipline your body. You run in here with bags under your eyes and you're looking like red-eyed saint. Come on now. I'm just tired. The Bible says the Lord is the strength of my life. Hallelujah. You got to say that. The Lord is the strength of my life. I'm stirred up in the strength of the Lord. I'm strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. It doesn't have to do nothing to do with how you feel. What do you believe? You believe your flesh? You believe your body? Or do you believe the word? Or you believe the word of God? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the privilege of